I want us to take time to reflect upon what the Lord has done for us. And so if you have your Bibles, may I encourage you to turn to Luke. Luke 23. Before I go there, I want to open up in prayer. And I want to pray through some scripture as we prepare our hearts for what the Lord has for us this morning. So let me just pray. Dear and Father, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, this verse encourages us to be joyful, to give thanks for the gift of life on this special day. Lord, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Thank you, Lord, for this verse, because it reminds us the Lord is our source of joy, and his presence brings fulfillment and eternal pleasures. I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. Lord, let us express gratitude and praise to you for the goodness and mercy that you show upon us every day. Weeping and tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Even times of sorrow and pain, joy will eventually prevail, just as the morning follows the night. Lord, restore to me, to my brothers and sisters, the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Lord, we want to turn to you in difficult times. Grant us your joy and hope through the salvation of what your Son has done for us on the cross. We just pray and ask these things, Lord, in your name. Amen. In March, I began a series in Philemon to see what we could learn about forgiveness and reconciliation. And Satan has done his best to distract us from this weekend of leading up to what Jesus Christ has done for us. John MacArthur wrote this. He said this: vengeance is popular today. Forgiveness is not. Retaliation is often portrayed as a virtue reflecting healthy self-esteem. It is heralded as an inalienable right of personal freedom. This morning, we come to the foot of the cross. If anyone ever had a good reason not to forgive, it was Jesus. We see from Scripture that he was totally innocent of any wrongdoing, that he never wronged a person, he never spoke a lie. He never broke the law. 1 Peter 2:22 says this: he committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. Hebrews 4:15: for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Such a high priest meets our needs. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above heavens. Hebrews 7:26. Even Pontius Pilate, as we read responsive reading, said, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." And yet, Pilate conspired with other evil men using false and trumped up charges and condemned Jesus Christ to death and killed him on the cross. And through it all, Jesus Christ was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before his shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Forgiveness was what filled Jesus Christ's heart, not condemnation or revenge. John 3:17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. One will notice when you read through the Gospels that Jesus Christ is silent before his accusers. When legitimate questions were put to him, he would answer them honestly, but very briefly. And for the most part, he was silent. And then when Jesus did speak, in the final hours, before he gave up his life, it was clear that his mind was not on revenge or self-defense. Forgiveness was on his mind. We see this in Luke 23. If you have your Bibles, please turn there. Verse 34, we're going to look at just the simple verse. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Sometimes it's very difficult for us to forgive people. It's so easy for us to harbor an unforgiving spirit. Someone hurts us, and in our hearts, we can't forgive that person. This morning, when we look at this verse, if we grasp the wonders, the awes of this statement, I believe it will enable us to forgive and experience the joy that comes when we forgive. What do we see from this verse? What can we learn from this verse? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. The first thing that we see is that he prayed. When our Lord entered into his suffering, when our Lord endured the suffering, when he was nailed to the cross, when he was flogged, he spoke to his Father in heaven. Very interesting to see that forgiveness was in his heart. He did not threaten. He did not condemn. He did not pronounce doom on his crucifiers. It matched what he taught earlier in Matthew 5:44, which says this, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Some of us have heard, maybe we've even said this, maybe we've even experienced it ourselves, "I cannot talk to God. I'm not able to pray. I don't believe anymore after the way people have treated me." When we look at the way they treated Jesus, Jesus was able to still look up and pray to his Father. He lived in fellowship with his Father. If you want to be able to forgive, here's the place to start. Make sure you have a right relationship with your Father in heaven. The whole point of the incarnation was forgiveness. The whole point of Jesus Christ coming into this world was forgiveness. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. It was the very thing that Jesus was dying for, and it was what he exemplified in his death. As I was preparing and looking at the Greek New Testament and the commentators, what they have to say, it indicates that Jesus repeated this prayer, Father, forgive them. We don't see that in our translations, but according to the Greek, as they laid him on the cross on the ground, he said, Father, forgive them. As they nailed his feet and his hands to the cross, he prayed, Father, forgive them. When they lifted up the cross and they placed it in a hole in the ground, he prayed, Father, forgive them. And as he was hanging there, he prayed, Father, forgive them. Jesus Christ gives us an incredible example of what we're to do as Christians, as Christ followers. Many times, you and I have wanted to bring down fire on somebody. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ prayed from a heart of love and said, Father, forgive them. Who was Jesus Christ praying for when he said this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing? Was it for the Jews who conspired to sentence him to death? Was it the Roman soldiers who nailed him to the cross and then later on started gambling over his clothing? Or was it for the mocking crowd? The answer, I believe, is all the above and more. You see, the scope of this prayer extends beyond the people who were there that day to every one of us who has trusted Jesus Christ and has received his forgiveness. It was our sin that put him on the cross. We are every bit as responsible as the men who drove the nails through his hands and feet. I did not know this, but I'm quoting a Dave Crowder song as well. Unforgiven, we sang it last Sunday. It has powerful words that communicate this. I'm the one who held the nail. It was cold between my fingertips. I've hidden in the garden. I've denied you with my very lips. God, I fell down to my knees. With a hammer in my hand, you look to me, your arms open, forgiven, forgiven. Child, there is freedom from it all. Say goodbye to every sin. You are forgiven. I've done these things I wish I hadn't done. I've seen the things I wish I hadn't seen. Yet the thought of your amazing grace, and I cried, Jesus, forgive me. God, I fall down to my knees. With a hammer in my hand, you look at me, arms open, forgiven, forgiven. Child, there is freedom from it all. Say goodbye to every sin, you are forgiven. I could have been 6 feet under. I could have been lost forever. Yeah, I should be in that fire. But now there's fire inside of me. Here I am, a dead man walking. No grave is going to hold God's people. All the weight of our evil lifted away forever. Who could believe? Who could believe? Forgiven, forgiven. You love me even when I don't deserve it. Forgiven, I am forgiven. Jesus, your blood makes me innocent. So I say, well, say goodbye to every sin. I am forgiven. Oh, I am forgiven. When Jesus prayed this prayer, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. He prayed for you and I. He prayed for those who were sinning because he was fulfilling the word of God. Isaiah 53:12 says this, Therefore I will give him a portion among the great. He will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Why did Jesus pray? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. He was practicing the very message that he preached. He preached forgiveness. He said, now, if you don't forgive from your heart, God can't forgive you. This doesn't mean that forgiveness is based on your own good works. But it does mean if my heart is unwilling to forgive you, I am in no condition to come and ask God for forgiveness myself. It was a plea on behalf of those who had repented and trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior. He was praying for you and me that when we come to grips with the enormity of what we have done, and seek God's forgiveness for our sins, God will not hold it against us. Forgiveness is offered to all freely. He was taking our place, dying on our behalf. He hung there before God as a representative of sinful humanity. And so he appealed to the Father to forgive you and me. Was Jesus' prayer for forgiveness, for their forgiveness and our forgiveness answered? I believe it was. For every sinner who has ever lived is an answer to Christ's prayer. Since our guilt, since my sin, your sin put him on the cross, we bear responsibility for his death, just as those who drove the nails through his hands and feet. And the forgiveness that he extends on the cross to those who put him to death is the same forgiveness that he extends to you and me today. If you've experienced this forgiveness, then we have an obligation to extend similar mercy to others as well. Ephesians 4:32 says this, Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. I would like to close with this question. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. When we think about that, when we ponder what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, can we look at the scene on the cross and then justify our own unwillingness to forgive any offense that our neighbor or our husband or our wife, or our friend, or our enemy might have committed against us? What a powerful powerful testimony of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. A song that I heard this morning, I did not catch the title of the song nor the who sang it, but this is the words. No other God or king has ever laid down their life for me like Jesus Christ has done. Let me just pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for what your Son has done for us. For taking upon himself our sin and paying a price that we could not pay. A debt there was no way that we could satisfy your holiness. But your Son paid that for us, and we thank you greatly for that. We have so much to praise you for and thank you for. Lord, may you just etch upon our hearts as we reflect upon it from here to Sunday to your resurrection. As you prayed out, Father, forgive them. Lord, may we just ponder what you've done for us, and may we extend that to those around us. And we just pray and ask things in your name.